from KQED.
This is the California Report. Good morning. I'm John Sepulvedo. We begin, as we do most mornings these days, with the upcoming election. In California, it looks to be brutal for Republicans. At the top of the ticket, Democrat Hillary Clinton is crushing Republican Donald Trump by 26 points, according to a new, just released this morning, Public Policy Institute of California poll. The question now is whether down-ballot GOP candidates will sync with Trump. One of those down-ballot contests is on the Central Coast, in a race that is becoming one of the most expensive in the country. Here's KCRW's Jonathan Bastian.
The 24th congressional district is as diverse as the two candidates vying to represent it. The district spans San Luis Obispo, Santa Barbara, and a sliver of Ventura counties. The varied terrain is known for oil platforms, agricultural fields, luxury coastal estates, and a wine industry made famous by the movie Sideways. Since 1998, the district has been represented by Democrat Lois Capps. She was elected to replace her husband, Walter Capps, who died of a heart attack only 9 months into his first term. Capps has thrown her support behind fellow Democrat Salud Carbajal, who frequently references his blue-collar Mexican background.
Look, I'm a son of a farm worker. I immigrated to this country when the immigration system worked. We need comprehensive immigration reform in a way that provides a path to citizenship, certainly secures our borders.
Carbajal was elected to the Santa Barbara County Board of Supervisors in 2004 and is considered by many as a safe, steady, but not terribly exciting Democratic pick, all of which is in stark contrast to the profile of his opponent, Justin Fareed. The 28-year-old Republican grew up in the wealthy enclave of Montecito, just outside of Santa Barbara. He attended UCLA and has never held public office. Critics have attacked his lack of experience, which Fareed has tried to brush off by touting his success as a local businessman.
I think you have to look at the totality of one's background and experience. I grew up here in Santa Barbara building a business from scratch with my family, packing boxes, taking inventory, going to different chambers and trade shows.
In terms of policies, Carbajal has stressed greater regulations on the local oil industry following the Refugio oil spill in 2015. Fareed, on the other hand, is concerned primarily with supporting businesses and job creation. These stances play equally well in a district that is deeply divided. Congresswoman Capps won re-election in 2014 by just 3 percentage points. And with the seat now up for grabs, super PACs and other nonprofits have poured nearly $3 million into the race, making it one of the most expensive in the country. On top of that, Carbajal has personally raised around $2.8 million, while Fareed has raised roughly $2 million. Both candidates have experienced turbulence in their campaigns in recent weeks. Carbajal was overheard by a political opponent calling the town of Lompoc the armpit of Santa Barbara County. This sent the Fareed campaign on the offensive with TV attack ads like this one.
Elitist insiders like Carbajal have been looking down their noses at us for years. Washington doesn't need one more arrogant career politician like Carbajal. Vote fresh. Vote Fareed.
At the same time, Fareed has been dealing with a problem plaguing many other Republicans, Donald Trump. After initially making supportive statements about Trump, Fareed has tried to distance himself. All of this has made the race especially bitter in the closing weeks of the campaign as voters decide who will represent their district. Will it be the Democratic political insider who worked his way up through the party, or the outsider pushing a message of economic growth? For the California Report, I'm Jonathan Bastian in Santa Barbara.
We're getting news this morning from the Associated Press that Twitter is laying off more than 300 workers worldwide. This comes after the company could not find a buyer. Could this be the fault of internet trolls? Here's Queena Kim of KQED's Silicon Valley desk.
There are lots of reasons why interested buyers might have walked away from Twitter. Paul Sweeney is an analyst with Bloomberg Intelligence. He says Twitter's user growth has stalled. Its advertising sales are expected to level off. And then there's the online harassment by trolls.
I think it is a concern. I think it's one of the reasons why the company may have some problems attracting additional advertisers.
Advertisers don't want to be associated with offensive comment. And media reports said that Disney and Salesforce walked away from buying Twitter in part for the same reason.
Something that came up in my reporting was that Twitter had sort of treated harassment as this secondary concern.
Charlie Rozelle is a tech reporter with BuzzFeed. He says people of color and women working at Twitter, as well as its users, alerted senior managers about the online abuse as far back as 2008. But the mostly white male management team didn't consider combating trolls a priority.
Former employees inside the company described the homogenous leadership of Twitter as its original sin.
The idea is that as mostly white men, senior management didn't experience racist slurs and rape threats and continued to focus on making Twitter a platform for radical free speech. Twitter told Rozelle, safety of users is its number one priority. Kelly McElhaney teaches diversity at Berkeley's Haas School of Business.
This is an example of how lack of diversity is bad for business.
McElhaney says as Silicon Valley companies try to reach a more diverse mainstream audience, this is another lesson on why diversity matters. For the California Report, I'm Quina Kim.
Quina's piece got us curious about the etymology of the word troll. For a long time, the image of a troll has been adorable, like the trolls that sang that one song in the Disney movie Frozen.
Is it the clumpy way he walks?
Or the grumpy way he talks?
Actually, it is way too early in the morning for that. Can we turn that off? Thanks, Danny. Back to the word troll. As a verb, it has meant to roll from side to side or to sing in repetition. As for nouns, in the 1400s, Scandinavians used the word as, quote, giant being not of the human race, evil spirit, monster. With the possibility that abusive internet trolls have contributed to Twitter's layoffs, perhaps that definition from 6 centuries ago is once again apt.
Support for the California Report comes from Wharton San Francisco's Executive MBA program, delivering a rigorous academic experience immersed in the unique Bay Area ecosystem and access to a globally connected network. Wharton.upenn.edu. Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose family foundation advances the wiser use of energy and natural resources on a planet where everything is connected. On the web at theschmidt.org. And the James Irvine Foundation, expanding economic and political opportunity for Californians who are working but struggling with poverty. More at irvine.org.
I'm John Sepulveda, wishing you a great day. This has been the California Report for Thursday, October 27th, a production of KQED Public Radio.